Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you are joining me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Truly, today is such a glorious day, a day that we can just rejoice in God in spite of what your day has brought you thus far. You have to make up your mind that you will bless the Lord at all times and his praise continually to be in your mouth, because truly today is the day that he has made. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter what didn't go your way or how things are happening or going. We still have a right and a reason to bless the Lord. So I want you just to come on in and make yourself right at home. We have another fantastic day of a lesson on today. Our lesson is going to be Peter's message at Pentecost. And we're going to find that over in Acts chapter number 2, verses number 18. And then we're going to look at verses 36 through verse number 40. So we're going to look at various aspects of the message that Peter had preached at Pentecost and take a closer look at what he was saying and what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our church today. So I'm going to start out reading. Why don't you grab your Bibles and make yourself right at home and just join me in just a prayer as we just asking God's blessing on this session today. Satan, we bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we take authority right now, and we ask, O God, humbly but yet boldly, as we come to your throne and declare and decree that your blessed will be done and accomplished. Bless your hearers on this session today, and let their hearts be encouraged. Let hope spring forth, new life and new wells of living water spring forth out of that living fountain of living water. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let our pen be as a tongue of a ready writing. Speak a word, oh God, and send your endowment to bless and enable your people to go to the next level. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The preaching of Jesus produced conviction. Responding to the gospel message with faith result in salvation. Now, let's take a look here at our passage of Scripture. We're going to look at Acts chapter number 2, and we're going to look at verses number 14 down to verse number 18, and we're going to read what that particular passage of Scripture has to say to us in reference to our lesson on today. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, know this. Be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, said the God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaiden, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Therefore, let us, now this is starting at verse 36 to verse 40. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostle, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall. and with many other words did thee testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Now let's take a look here on today at verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's take a further look at the word on today as we examine the scripture according to Acts chapter 2, verses number 14 through 18 and 36 through 40. A father is running late for an appointment, and his child's school drama production has been the topic of many family dinners discussions. And he has promised that he will be there, but unforeseen interruption has detained him, and he is doing his best he can just to make it. He arrives late with only enough time to see the second half of the production. Even though he witnessed the climax of the action, he still has missed half of the drama. He has no idea how things played out up to the point of his arrival. He needs someone to fill him in on what he missed. The observation of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, was one of three major annual feasts on the Jewish calendar. Jews from all over the world converge on the ancient city of Jerusalem for the celebration of Thanksgiving for the harvest crop. Just 50 days earlier, the city was in an uproar concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Talk of his arrest, trials, and execution was on the lips of everyone. There was even talk of a resurrection, but that was 50 days prior. Now, Jews who had heard little or nothing about Jesus had filled the city. They were unaware of the events that had transpired just 50 days earlier. Then suddenly something happened. There was talk of people carrying on like drunks, and that was doing it in the name of God. The uninformed Jews would want to know the meaning of this. They had missed the first part of the unfolding drama. The stories of what was happening in the upper room made no sense to them, for they had missed the first part of the drama. They did not know the characters or events that had brought everything to that time and place. They needed someone to explain it all to them and bring them up to date. It was at that point the Apostle Peter stepped up and did just that. And so here we find that particular scriptures are being unfolded of preacher Peter preaching this particular message. And let's take a look here. This is that, Joel's prophecy being fulfilled. Peter had just received the Holy Ghost. So when he spoke from the vantage point of a new experience. Moreover, he spoke under the direct influence and anointing and authority of the Holy Ghost. He did not speak out of frustration or righteous anger about the way Jesus has been treated. He spoke from a genuine concern to bring revelation to people who needed to experience God's love. Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost as a man who had been changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. He had been in prayer and waiting on God for 7 to 10 days prior to Pentecost. He had spent about 3 years of his life following Jesus and listening to his teaching. He was prepared to speak, full of the word and of the power of God. And I want you to recognize those two dynamics. He was full of the word, and then he was also full of the power of God. So those two dynamics are key for us to recognize what was going on in the life of Peter, his posture and how he had governed himself. All those things are key as he's moving forward in ministry. He was full of the word and full of power. Now let's take a look. Acts chapter 2, verse number 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Acts number 2, verse 16. Peter used the opportunity to help his listener understand the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. To bring them to the point of understanding, he referred back to the prophets of Old Testament. Peter showed them that God was fulfilling the infinite wisdom of his eternal plan, a plan he had made before the world ever begun. See Revelation 13 and 8. The fulfillment of God's plan should have been no surprise to them, for the prophet had spoken of these things years ago. The Jewish people knew the scripture and read them daily. They devoted themselves to observing the law and attempting to live up to its many concepts and precepts, including the mantra of law added by their own priests. They proposed much knowledge, possessed much knowledge, but they did not understand all its meaning. It is one thing to know what the Word of God said. It is quite another thing to understand what it means. For hundreds of years, the law had been shrouded in the shadows, types, and metaphors. Now the substance of the shadow was coming to light, and that's very key for us to recognize. Peter was addressing Jewish pilgrims from all over the region. They came from the village and the city in remote and far-off places. They had varying customs and different languages and dialects, but they all shared a common bond, and that bond was Judaism. They were all Jews, which is what brought them to Jerusalem in the first place. Consequently, Peter preached a message to the Jewish people in a Jewish city from the Jewish scripture about the Jewish Messiah. Now, when Peter quoted Joel the prophet, "And it shall come to pass in the last days," he was letting the people of Israel know that the time predicted by Joel had come. The Lord was empowering his church with the Holy Ghost. The words, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh," reveal the abundance of God's spirit. And with God, there is never a shortage. There is always more than enough. This wonderful experience is whosoever will. The prophet Joel spoke of the former and the latter rain and the importance that they play in Israel agricultural. The former rain referred to the rain in autumn, which was planting time for the barley crops. The latter rain referred to those rains of the springtime, just before the harvest of the barley. Both of these rains were essential for a quality harvest. However, it was the latter rain that renewed the fertility of the dry ground. The prophet likened the outpour of the Holy Ghost to the latter rain, bringing with it refreshment, renewal, restoration in abundance. The Holy Spirit plays an active role in the Old Testament, for he is not separate and distant from God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Almighty. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was the origin of the supernatural abilities. You can look at Genesis 41, verse 38. The giver of artistic skills. You can see that over in Exodus 31, verses 2 through 5. The source of power and strength. Judges chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. And the inspiration of prophecy. 1 Samuel 19 and 20 and verse 23, and the mediation of God's message, Micah 3 and 8. The Holy Spirit has always been an active force working God's will in the world. Still, when the prophet stated that the Spirit would come upon all flesh, it was a new idea. And so here we find that the Old Testament does not mention one instance of a slave being used in prophecy. The Lord was showing that he made no distinction in pouring out his spirit. Now, when you look at 1 Peter 2 and 9, the scriptures say, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Under the new covenant, the authority of the Spirit is not reserved for spiritual and national leaders. Without a doubt, it is an experience with God that He intends to be available to all people. Every believer is anointed to be a king and a priest to God. Let's look at this word. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Acts 2:19. Looking up into heaven on a clear night, a person may be able to see thousands of stars. From where they stand. They appear to be very close to each other. However, these stars are actually thousands of miles away and thousands of miles apart from one another. Still, a person's eye cannot distinguish which one are closest or which one are the farthest apart. Prophecy also is difficult to discern. The prophets saw the numerous things God unveiled to them, received great revelation, and were in awe of events. However, often the prophet did not understand the things God was revealing to him. This was the case with the prophet Joel. Joel said that in the last day, God would pour out his spirit on all flesh. But he also saw the end of the age. Perhaps in Joel's mind, all of the events may have appeared to happen in a close proximity or even simultaneously. But the two events were separated by hundreds of years. Some of the things Joel spoke of, the blood, fire, and vapor of smoke, have not occurred as yet, but the outpouring of the Spirit has happened and continue to occur. We know that the Spirit has been poured out because of His evidence in our lives and the lives of millions of other people around the world. Joel's prophecy went on to reveal that the end of this present age or the end of the world would take place amidst a barbaric catastrophic event. He said that there would be wonders in the heavens and signs in the earth. Moreover, there was a great demonstration of God's power in the church. But a glimmer of hope for the unsaved appeared in Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. However, make no mistake, the unsaved of this world must not wait too late to call on Jesus Christ and receive salvation. Once God closed the door on this age, just as He closed the door on Noah's ark, opportunity will be lost. Peter explained to those gathered in Jerusalem that the believer in the upper room were not drunk, for it was only 9 hours in the morning. He stated that the event and the demonstration that have transpired at the upper room were the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. The Jews who spoke languages they had never heard did so under the influence and unction of the Holy Ghost. The occurrence was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel over 800 years before. The outpouring of God's Spirit has begun and now was available to them, available to the young and the old and to their children and even to their servants. God will give His Spirit to all who desire salvation. And we know the scripture said, whosoever will, let them come. Now let's take another piece here and look, Jesus Christ, the rejected Messiah. And let's take a look at that and what the scripture and the word is saying. The life of Jesus. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourself also know. Acts 2:22. Though he was rejected by people of Israel, Jesus was approved of God. Now let's take another look. The death of Jesus. Acts 2:23 state, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Acts 2:23. The rulers of the Jews refused to accept the testimony of John the Baptist and the Heavenly Father himself. They refused to come to see Jesus, the one the prophet had spoken of and of all that Israel longed for. They rejected Jesus and persisted in their stubborn unbelief because they loved the praises of others. Consequently, the religious rulers had Jesus arrested, tried, convicted, and executed because he threatened their religious establishment. Number three, again, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the rejected Messiah. Number three, the resurrection of Jesus, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pain of death, because it was not possible that he would be holding of it. Acts 2:24. Peter made a public proclamation of the resurrection. He could verify the words he spoke, for many in the crowd had been in Jerusalem 50 days earlier. And there was 12 men standing before the crowd who said that they have seen Jesus alive after his death. This was a powerful statement. The resurrection of Jesus was the ultimate sign that what he said about himself was true. Without the resurrection, we would have no reason to believe in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now, let's go and look at another point that we want to look at on today. Jesus Christ, David predicted his resurrection. And let's take a look at that. Acts 2:25 talked about the timeless deity. For David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Jesus Christ was not a part of the or portion of God. He was not an emulation of God, but rather he was Jehovah of the Old Testament, became flesh in the New Testament through Jesus Christ, the very one that mankind had offended and sinned against, became a man himself in order to save mankind. This truly God himself, robed in flesh. David spoke prophetically about the coming Christ. Peter was attempting to prove to his listeners that even David testified that Jesus was the Messiah. Come on and put your hands together and just shout hallelujah. Now, let's look at the triumphant death. Acts 2:26-28. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Jesus destroyed every curse of sin and every yoke of bondage that sin placed on mankind. Through his shedding of his own blood, Jesus accomplished victory over the enemy. Although the religious ruler meant Jesus' death to be agonizing defeat, it ultimately became a crowning and victorious moment for the King of Kings. The Jews had longed for the Messiah to come. The term Messiah means the anointed one of God. The New Testament uses the term Christ as the Greek equivalent. The Messiah will be the one who will come with the anointed burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Peter let the crowd know that the burden remover and yoke destroyer have come and have paid the ransom for their soul. Come on and just shout hallelujah. He's still yet removing burdens and destroying yoke through and by the power of God. Come on and shout hallelujah. This is the message Peter was talking about this particular power. Now let's look here at the resurrection. And we'll read it from Acts chapter number 2, verses 29 through 31. And it reads on this line, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Peter testified that David, king and prophet, foretold the things concerning Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Peter used two Old Testament prophecies, Joel chapter number 2, verse 28 and 29, and Psalm 116, verses 8 through 11, to establish his message to the people. In Psalm 16, David wrote as a prophet who spoke of the Messiah who would be resurrected. The audience understood corruption to mean the grave. The emphasis in the psalm was that Jesus' body was not left to decay, but in fact, it was resurrected and glorified. Now, let's move on expeditiously to the next point. Jesus Christ, the risen Messiah, now exalted. And let's look at the present witnesses. Over in Acts 2, verse number 32, it states, "This Jesus have God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." To establish the validity of a testimony under the law of Moses, it was essential that there would be two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 17 and 6, Deuteronomy 19 and 15. Peter had endeavored to help his audience understand the event that had led to and taken place on the day of Pentecost. But he knew that the crowd of devoted Jewish pilgrims needed more than only his interpretation of the event. They required the testimony of others to confirm the things that had been told them. Acts 2, verses number 14 state that Peter stood up with the 11 other apostles. Moreover, he included them as witnesses to confirm the testimony that he had been given to the crowd. Acts 2:32. The crowd saw 12 men and several others in the crowd who testified that Jesus Christ had in fact been raised from the dead. One could possibly discount the testimony of a few, but the Bible states that there was more than 500 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses number 5 to verse number 8. The apostles and others had seen Jesus alive for 40 days, and they confirmed his resurrection with undeniable proof. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 3. Now, let's look at the promised wonder, and we'll look at Acts chapter number 2, verse number 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth, which what you now see and hear." Acts 2, verse number 33. Jesus accomplished the will of his Father with the authority given him by God. That Jesus was at the right hand of God did not refer to physical location, but to his assumed position of authority. Matthew 28 and 18. The death of the cross was not what gave him authority, but that he accomplished the will of his Father. Doing his Father's will is what Jesus lived and died for. John 5 and 8, 19. He was not looking at the cross as a crowning moment of joy. His crowning moment came through accomplishing the purpose of his Heavenly Father. See Hebrews 12 and 2. Peter made it clear that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit they had witnessed and experience came about by the authority Jesus Christ had attained from his heavenly Father. Now, let's look at the prophetic word. Acts chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. For David is not ascended into the heaven, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I have made thy foe thy footstool. Peter referred to David's prophetic words in verse 34 and 35 of Acts chapter 2. David did not speak concerning himself, but he spoke prophetically of the Christ. The Holy Ghost had came upon the believers because Jesus had ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of God. His task had been completed, and the salvation became available for all mankind. Now, let's look at the pointed proclamation. Acts chapter number 2, verse 36. Let's take a look at this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter concluded that Jesus, whom they had crucified, was in fact Lord and Christ. Many of the Jews had spoke to on that day were not even in Jerusalem when Jesus was killed. How could they have crucified him? Peter was referring to the corporate guilt of all mankind for the death of Jesus Christ. It was because of all our sins he died on the cross. It was not that the Jews alone was responsible for the death of Christ. After all, the religious leaders in Jerusalem were appointed by Rome. So technically, it was the Romans who had Christ put to death. Still, ultimately, it was all mankind who were guilty of his death because of sin. Peter stated that this name, same Jesus, is both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the name, same. One true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The very God to whom the people of Israel prayed suffered death because of their sin. This illustrated the undying love of God for his people. Peter's words were direct and cut to the heart of his audience. His intention was not to beat them up, but to call them back to God that they had forsaken. God still loved them and cared for them. His word was not of condemnation, but confirmation. He confirmed to them with numerous witnesses and from the scripture that Jesus was indeed Lord and Christ. Consequently, Peter called for a response from the people. And so here, let's look at the response now from the people. Respond to Peter's message, the agony of conviction. Let's look here at verse number 37 in the second book of Acts. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostle, men and brethren, what shall we do? When Peter concluded his message, the people were deeply moved and asked, what shall we do? They experienced conviction that caused them to respond to the message of truth. There is more to salvation than only feeling remorse about our sin. We must accept God's forgiveness and then live as forgiven people. When the word of God cuts so deeply that it brings conviction, we must ask God what to do next. God does not want us just to feel bad about our sin. He wants us to act on our conviction. He wants us to receive provision that he has made and live a transformed life by the power he gives to the redeemed people of God. And so God is asking for us to act upon that, not only just to forgive, asking God forgiveness, and then we must go on to the next level and say, God, what do you want me to do from here? And watch God lead and guide us into all truth. Now, let's take a moment here and take a look at the plan of salvation. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter's message demanded a response from the listener, which they did. Peter was responsible to share the truth of God's word with them. He did not condemn them or criticize their religious upbringing. Rather, he capitalized on their background and recognized that the faith in God that they had already. It was Peter's intention to lead them to experience salvation in Jesus Christ, not to destroy whatever faith exists already in their heart. Salvation symbolized the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The sinful nature is put to death in repentance and buried through water baptism in the name of Jesus. Moreover, we are risen from the water to walk in a new life as we receive the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, symbolically experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that I pray that that gives you a greater understanding about the plan of salvation and the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how it is symbolically for us when we are baptized, when we first of all repent, we put to death in repentance, and then buried through water baptism in the name of Jesus. That's the burial. And the resurrection comes when we come up out of the water, walking in the newness of life, being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter first called them to repentance. Repentance is turning away from sin and heading in a new direction with God. It involves devoting our life exclusively to Him. Second, Peter instructs his listener to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptism is just not a ritual or an optional public profession, but the scripture makes it very clear that baptism is a part of salvation. Both Jesus and his disciple commanded its practice. Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:16, Luke 24:47, John 3:5. You'll find it all in the scripture. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ entails more than just mental assertion. It is living a life of obedience to God's word. The disciple in the first century church administered water baptism by immersion and exclusively in the name of Jesus. Many people have compared Acts 2:38 to Matthew 28:19. In considering the proper formula for water baptism, some argue that they would rather take the words of Jesus over the apostle Peter. However, Matthew was one of the 11 standing up in support of Peter's message. There is no record of Matthew or any of the other apostles ever disagreeing with Peter's commandment of baptism in the name of Jesus. The apostle understood the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. See John 5:43, Matthew 1:21. John 14:26. Water baptism in Jesus' name is necessary for the remission of sin. Baptism has been taught by many as an initiation for the church membership, but this is not the biblical purpose of water baptism. God never intended for baptism to make us church members. Rather, it is simply a mold of witness to those present at the event. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sin. After making the instruction of repentance and water baptism clear, Peter went on to say, "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." A person can fully realize the promise of the prophet Joel when he followed God's instruction. God made the word clear and easy to be understood. God was offering the crowd something even better in the upper room. The message Peter preached was not something he made up himself. It was God's plan from the beginning of time. The law and the prophet shadowed his message. On the day of Pentecost, God revealed it plainly. Now let's look at our last point for today, is the promise of inclusion, Acts 2 and 39. Now let's take a look here. It said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Jews believed that they had monopoly on God. They were God's chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, that they had the law and the prophets, and they were the one through whom the Messiah were to appear. Yet Peter prophesied that salvation would be available to all people. God did not exclude anyone from partaking, Jews and Gentiles, slaves, free, men and women. All people could receive God's forgiveness. This was radically different from what the Jews believed, but it was God's desire from the very start. God would not exclude anyone from becoming part of his family. And you'll see Galatians 3 and 28. The term afar off in Acts 2:39 referred to Gentiles. In the Jewish temple, the court closest to the holy place was where the men prayed. Outside this court was the court where the women prayed. Outside the women's court was the court where the Gentiles prayed. Posted on the wall was a warning that separated the women from the Gentile and forbade Gentiles to go any further. If a Gentile went any further into the temple, he did so at his own risk of his own life. But Peter stated in Ephesus, Ephesians, that the Lord broke down the middle wall of division. You'll find that over in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 11 through verse number 14. God brought Gentiles near to salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Moreover, the promise even today is for whosoever will. And I think that is so key for us to recognize, is whosoever will, let him come. That's why the Bible said that if you seek of him, you will be found of him. And so it admonishes as people of God that we must seek after the Lord and we will be found of him. Now let's look at the conclusion. The Apostle Peter ended his message with a clear call for his listener to respond. He did not just share the word of the Lord, but he called on them to act on what he had preached. The gospel message set people free. Yet the listener had an opportunity and responsibility to respond to what it was being told. Peter called his listener to respond, and they did. In fact, 3,000 people responded and were baptized that day. Peter allowed God to use him. And when God spoke through him, the word brought forth results. When we minister God's way, when we minister God's way up under his direction, he will supply the harvest. And so that is key for us as children of God, is to begin to seek out the ways of God so that God can supply the harvest. Even with our tithes and offering, God wants to provide a harvest for us. But we must continue on to do it according to what his word has already declared for us as children and people of God. Amen? The message God gave Peter that day was true. It was not given as one of many options for receiving salvation. It was given as the way to be saved. Throughout the book of Acts, we witness the preaching of the same message time and again, Acts 8, 10, and 19. Each time the message brought more and more results. Early in the book of Acts, souls were added to the church, Acts 2, 47. Later on, however, souls were multiplied, Acts 6 and 7. Moreover, the preached word of God still works today and will bring the lost to an experience of salvation in Jesus Christ. Come on and just shout hallelujah. We have just looked at the message that Peter preached at Pentecost. Peter stood up and said in Acts 2, verse 38, then said Peter unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we, as we look throughout this lesson, we looked at this is that, the Joel, what Joel had prophesied about the fulfilling of his will, and that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then we also talked about Jesus Christ, the rejected Messiah. We talked about the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then we looked at, for just a moment, Jesus Christ, David predicted his resurrection. Acts chapter number 2, chapter verse number 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. And so we talked about that. And then we talked about the triumphant death. Acts chapter number 2, verse 26 to verse 28. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thy suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made heaven to me, known to me, the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And so here we talked a little bit about the triumphant death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it means to be called the Messiah, the anointed one of God. And then we went on to talk about the Messiah would be the one who would come with the anointed yoke burden, removing the burdens off of the people, as well as yoke-destroying power of God. Don't you know God want to break and destroy every yoke and remove every burden off of the shoulders of his people so that they can be free to serve them in the beauty of holiness? And that's what the adversary comes sometimes to put heavy and grievous burdens upon the people of God, that they cannot enjoy the liberty and the freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of this session, we are going to pray, and we're going to believe God to break every yoke and to undo every heavy burden. The resurrection, we talked about that. Then Jesus, the risen Messiah, now being exalted. And we looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus have God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Then we looked at the promised wonder, the prophetic word, the appointed proclamation. Then we looked at the people, how did they respond to the word of the Lord? After God used Peter, the Bible let us know that the people was pricked in their heart, and they acted upon the word of the Lord. And we talked really briefly. It's one thing of saying, God, forgive me, and God will forgive us. But God is actually waiting for a response, waiting for us to respond to that word that we have received and to act upon it. And then we talked about the plan of salvation, about being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sin and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the key element also is for repentance, is dying out, repenting. Lord, forgive me for my sins and my iniquity, and I'm turning away. And then being baptized, buried in the name of Jesus, baptized in the water in the name of Jesus, and then coming up in the newness of life. Then we talked about the promise of inclusion, talking about for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. And then we looked at the conclusion about how God engrafted the Gentile in, and through the blood of Jesus Christ is where the Gentile was able to be engrafted in. God brought the Gentile near to salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Moreover, the promise even today is for whosoever will, and we can rest in that, children of God, as never before, and things. And as we continue on steadfast in the word of the Lord and doing the work and the plan that of God that he's already laid out for his people, and all we have to do is, children of God, acknowledge him first, and he promised that he was going to direct our path. And so, child of God, I want you to know God is going to do it. I don't care what the situation may look like or what's going on in and through your life. I want you to know God is still yet going to do it in and through your life. And I want to pray with you. I want to lift up the name of the Lord God with you. I don't care what you're going through. That same dunamis power, that yoke-destroying power, and that burden-removing power of the Holy Ghost is still active and alive today. And so what I want you to do, if you can just provide enough faith in God right now to believe God is going to do it, he will work it out. Father, we come and we hasten right now unto your throne. We take this time to bind the forces of darkness and bind the devil right now in the name of Jesus. And we renounce every one of his attacks against your child, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. God, that yoke-destroying power and that burden-removing power, we release it right now through the airways and say, God, have your way right now in the name of Jesus. God, we look unto the hill from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. God, you said you would not suffer our foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will not sleep, nor will you slumber. Father, we know you're working it out. Father, we know you got all power in your hand, and we stand firm on the word of the Lord. Father, this too shall and will pass. Oh, shakarabo shekianda. Lord, have your way, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we cast down every high thing that wants to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, and we bring every thought into captivity, and we command our spirit, our mind, to line up with the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, and declare what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our church. God, we know that you're able. God, we know that you're willing. God, we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we stand on your word, oh God, and say, have your way, oh God. Father, we call right now, your right now will to be done. Move on behalf of your daughter, Lord. Fight every battle, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we cast down every stronghold in the name of Jesus. And Father, we call your will to be done, Lord. We call your kingdom to come, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We command healing over the finances, healing over relationships, healing, oh God, in the body, healing in the psychological man, healing in the emotional man, right now in the name of Jesus. Healing in your faith even right now to be able to birth forth the dreams, the prophetic word, and to hold the word in your heart and to the manifestation of it to come to pass. Father, I decree strength, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, our Lord. God, you're still in control. God, you still got all power in your hand. God, you still are walking to and fro throughout the land, looking over your word so that you can perform it and bring it to pass. And Father, we'll stand flat foot and declare your your word, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and you shall and you will prevail in the life of your people. So God, we take heart and we stand up in the sanctuary of the heart and praise and worship your word and your name. You are the righteous Savior. You are the Holy One of Israel. And, oh, God, we declare and decree, oh, God, that you alone is our Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Tiskanu, oh, God. You are our righteous banner and our righteousness and a banner over us, oh, God. And, Father, we praise your blessed name. We give you glory today. We give you honor today. We stand in that dunamis power today and call it in, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We call in victory. We call in, Lord, strength, Lord. We call in your word on the matter, oh God. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name, we pray, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. Father, we bless your name. Oh God, we bless your name. God, we just bless your name, dear God. We bless your name and we bless your word, dear God. And we say to God be the glory, oh God. And you get all the glory and you get all the honor, dear God, as we shake off, oh God, every attack of the adversary, and declare our tongue to be a war weapon to speak forth your word, dear God, in the land of the living. And Father, I touch and agree with my sisters and brothers throughout the radio land that you will, Lord, perform it. You will work on their behalf, Father, because your word declared no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And every tongue that rise up against us, we shall condemn. And Lord, we call the tongues that rise up against your people to be condemned in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So daughter and son, take heart. Hold fast to the word. Don't you dare waver. And don't you dare get back up, but back up into a wall. But you stand firm on the word of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I don't care what comes to you in this day. You better rejoice. And you better declare, Father, I will rejoice and be glad. I tell the saints there at my church in Shekinah, tell them to turn to their neighbor and say, don't get mad, get glad. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. So take heart, child of God. I don't care what the devil is saying and how he's fighting. You be glad. You take hold of gladness and hold fast and hold firm on the word of the Lord and watch God fight on your behalf. In my conclusion, if this has been a blessing to you, I encourage you to go and take a moment and rate the show. And then not only that, as I would say always with the word of the Lord given to me, that if you don't have it, God got it, and you're just one question away from your blessing and your miracle. All you need to do is go back and ask, and God said it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Perhaps you asked the wrong question, and perhaps you knocked on the wrong door. And perhaps you thought the wrong way. Go back, ask again. Go back and seek again. And go back and knock again. And watch God bring it to pass on your behalf. Child of God, be blessed. It's a blessing to be with you on today again. As always, a blessing with my radio audience. I love you. I'm praying with you. I know God is going to bless you in a mighty and a profound way. God is going to open great and effectual doors unto his people. We want you to know we love you, and we're praying with you. You're not standing alone, but you're standing in the midst of prayer warriors who are praying on your behalf. So take heart, be encouraged, and look to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Psalms 121, verse number 1, and you can stand on it and watch God to come and help you right quick and early. And this has been my prayer, that you will be blessed. I thank God for you on today. May you ever, ever endeavor to do the work and the will of the Lord because God is not through with you yet. It's only just begun. May God bless you and hold fast, and don't you dare give up. God bless you. Bye-bye.